what you're going to hear next.
Good afternoon from the magical Isle of Vashon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And this is our annual Christmas broadcast. And I'm saying our because my friend and colleague, Truman O'Brien, Captain O'Brien, is with me. And my friend and colleague, Dr. Bruce Hallman, is with me today. And I have brought them on for a very selfish reason, and that is that both of them make huge contributions to island life, and both of them carry with them a fund of stories about things in which we, up in the captain's chair, are always interested. And so I'm welcoming both Captain O'Brien and Dr. Hallman. And before we get going with either of them, I'm going to give them, starting with Captain O'Brien, the opportunity to issue the greetings of the season, whichever season he chooses to observe this year, and also for Dr. Hallman. So over to you, Truman.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on your show today. I appreciate it. And I just wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and, of course, a very happy and prosperous New Year, which we're all looking forward to. Get rid of this darn 2020.
Yes.
And, I've heard that it's going to become an adjective, 2020 is. So somebody's going to say, boy, he really 2020'd that, didn't he?
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, Lord. Do we have a whole year of that kind of thing coming?
Yeah, probably, yes. And, probably.
And Dr. Hallman, Bruce, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Always good to be with you, Captain Joe. My greetings to everybody is, well welcome to the new year of the solstice, at least, a new solar year. And on Vashon this year, it's been particularly poignant because yesterday was probably the rainiest, coldest, darkest day imaginable, even for the Pacific Northwest. And this morning, behind me on Zoom, Captain Joe remarked, I have a photograph of Mount Rainier, sunrise on Mount Rainier. And it's just gorgeous. Waking up this morning and looking out across the sound at the sunrise was just incredible. And hopefully tonight we'll be able to see the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn that I think Captain Joe will talk about in a bit. So welcome to the new solar year, and hopefully it's a more prosperous and more generous year than 2020 has been.
So we all are wishing and hoping for that, but we need to translate wishes and hopes into action, and that means, of course, that we all of us have to do our part, and I will be briefly mentioning that in my closing remarks, which I always do. But before each of you, I'm going to ask each of you to talk a little bit about areas within your own knowledge, sea bag of knowledge. But before I do that, I want to deliver myself of several remarks, and the first one has to do with the binnacle list, which is one of my first entries each week that we talk about the binnacle list. And in particular this year, I saw that we are now about 320,000 of us who have died as a result of this virus. And that means that there are hundreds of thousands of people in this great land that we all continue to serve who are going to have an empty chair at the table this Christmas celebration. And so that's my binnacle list, that for all of you who are in that situation, know that your captain, who is up in the captain's chair on Voice of Vashon, I have to get this in before Truman slides me a piece of paper to remind me that I need to acknowledge that this is indeed the Voice of Vashon. It's 101.9 on the frequency modulation band. And it is streamed live all over the world, from Singapore in one end of the world to Stockholm in the other. on voiceofbashan.org. So know that I'm very much aware and very sensitive to those empty places, those empty chairs at our table, because not because of the virus, but because I'm going to have one of those empty chairs as well. So I have been reminded, and I take this opportunity to remind all of Captain Joe's people that we are at the coming to the end of the Old Man Winter campaign. And I asked Kate, who is the executive director for the Voice of Vashon, how close we were. And between now and the end of the year, we only need $5,000 U.S. You can translate that. I already know that there have been Swedish crowns that have been sent. And I know of a number of other of Captain Joe's people who have contributed to this. But come on, troops. $5,000 isn't a heck of a lot, and we should be able to overcome that very quickly, and that's what allows Truman and Bruce to do the Brown Briefly program. It is what allows me to continue to pontificate from the captain's chair every week, and so this is coming from that same captain's chair that those of you who have been, for some reason, maidenly reluctant to make a contribution, and you have not yet decided how you're going to end your charitable year, now's the time for that particular donation to come in. You can do it right online on the voiceofvashon.org website. You can wrap it in an envelope and wrap it around a rock and toss it through, not through the window of the Gene Boss studio, but you can figure out. You're all very smart people. You can figure out how to get that to us. So, Dr. Hallman, I'm going to start and ask you about the candy canes that line the streets of Vashon. From whence do they come? Who puts them up? And I guess more to the point, when Easter is approaching, who takes them down?
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting sort of tradition on Vashon. The earliest I can find any record of putting up things like that is in 1928, the Vashon Businessmen's Club. And it was mostly businessmen at that time. You know, now on Vashon, most of the business, or the majority of the businesses, are owned and operated by women. But in 1928, it was mostly a men's world at that point. And they actually invested in Christmas lights and to light the main street of Vashon. And that's the first that I've ever seen anything being recorded of Vashon decorating the main street for the holidays. The candy canes themselves come from the 1950s when they began to decorate downtown. And that by that time, the businessmen's club had become the Chamber of Commerce. I believe the Chamber of Commerce is still responsible for it. It's a group of volunteers who come out and do that, and also do the flags for federal holidays and for Flag Day. And they put them up, they take them down every year. And so it's been a long tradition on Vashon. But there's other traditions on Vashon, like the lighting of the Christmas tree that was done virtually this year. In the 1920s and 30s, every community had their own lighted Christmas tree. So Dockton and Burton and Ellisport and Vashon and other places, other small communities, all would have their own trees, all would sort of have lighting ceremonies. And now, as the island has become more unified and transportation has made it a lot easier to get around, that's been centralized in Vashon Town. And of course, this year, because of COVID, it was all done virtually online. And so you could participate by not being there, but being there virtually.
So be thinking about the answer to the question that I'm going to pose to you now. You raise a very interesting point to me, and that has to do with transport. And all of the little settlements all over the island, both islands, had started out as being small settlements that were connected only by water. And so you be formulating your answer to how that all got started and how it works today. And I'm going to now turn my head 90 degrees to port and look over at Captain O'Brien. And Truman has a very, very interesting story. And part of that has to be that there were places and times in his life when he was not at home for the Christmas celebration. So over to you there, Captain.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this, Captain Joe, and I thought, you know, when I was with the airlines, my seniority always put me in a place where I could, you know, very often get Christmas off. As I got a little older and Molly, my daughter, was grown and I was not the little kid anymore, I began to work on Christmas so that the younger fellows with the young kids could have it off. So I did that. But I do have three Christmases where I was gone, and that's when I was in the military. And I thought I would share with you the first Christmas that I was away. I was in Bien Hoa, Vietnam, and I got a package in the mail, a fairly long package. It was about 3 feet long. And it was for my brother. And I thought, what in the world he sent me at Christmas time? And he was living in Montana at the time. And I opened up the box, and here is an evergreen tree that he had cut down and sent me. So he sent me a Christmas tree in Vietnam. And I'm telling you, it was the hit of the season. Boy, everybody was just ecstatic that we had a real Christmas tree, and we decorated it with with an amazing allotment of ornaments. But anyway, that was a real treat that he did that.
So I take it that the quality and quantity of the identity of the ornaments may well not be suitable for a family program.
That is correct.
Which we strive to run right here.
That is correct. That is correct. That was very astute of you to pick up on that, Captain Joe.
Well, you and I worked together long enough now to know that. So now I get to tell one of my Christmas stories, and that was when I was taking my icebreaker Northwind down to Antarctica for the annual break into the U.S. base at McMurdo. And this year, of course, we're not going to do that because the Operation Deep Freeze has been canceled for this year, and all the resupply is going to be done by air. And we talked about that last week, so I'm not going to recover that particular piece of broken ice. But we made a stop in Wellington, New Zealand, and Wellington, I had to take a pilot. Now, we've discussed at some length on this program the dichotomies which I've occasionally had with pilots in different parts of the world. And so the pilot that I drew was the chief pilot for Wellington Harbor. And the shot from St. David's Head, which is the entrance to the Wellington Harbor, into the cruise terminal where we were going to be berthed, it was a straight shot. It's really an easy run. My XO, who was a very competent ship handler, had the con. And chief pilot, recognized that I had my bridge crew pretty well organized, and they knew what they were doing. And so he and I repaired to the starboard bridge wing, and we just talked sailor talk. And again, as with Truman and the quality and quantity of decorations on his tree in Bien Hoa, some of our discussion was not suitable for reproducing for the family audience that we have on this program. And at the end, when we got tied up, all the lines doubled up and secured, and before he laid ashore, he said, Captain Joe, by this time we'd gotten to Chief Pilot and Captain Joe, and he said, Captain Joe, would you like to come to the annual Christmas party that we have at my home for all of the pilots that are off duty? And I said I would be delighted to do that. And so at the appointed day and hour, a vehicle drove up with the Wellington Harbor Pilot Board logo on the door and took me to Chief Pilot's home. And it was a wonderful gathering. These are all senior pilots with a lot of ship handling and a lot of seagoing experience. And so you can imagine that because none of them were on duty, that there was an occasional sip of sherry taken at the same time. And so at the end of the evening, and actually we were well into the morning by this time, Chief Pilot said, he said, Captain Joe, is there anything that we can do to make your visit here more pleasant? And I said, well, the city has already been so generous. Every one of my crew members had a family home to go to for the time that we were there. And I said, the only thing that I need is a Christmas tree to go to the masthead. I observed the ancient custom of putting a live Christmas tree at the masthead and keeping it up there until after the new year. It's not decorated and it has to be lashed down so that it doesn't interfere with the radar antennas or any of the other equipment up there. So I said, but I'm sending a little work party ashore tomorrow morning, and XO is supervising this and he's going to make sure that we have a tree. And so I was driven back to the ship a little bit, somewhat, actually quite a bit, worse for wear. And I was sleeping in the next morning, and the messenger of the watch came up and he tapped on the cabin door and he said, Captain, the officer of the deck presents his respects and wants to advise you that there is a very large Christmas tree which has magically appeared and is now down on the quarterdeck. And I said, oh, golly, I have to look at the words here that I'm not supposed to say. I probably said several of them. But what I think has probably happened, and I went down, and sure enough, there was this enormous, it was probably about 30, 35 feet tall tree, and it was sitting on the quarterdeck. And I said to the officer of the deck, I said, from whence might this have come? And he said, well, this van drove up with the logo of the Wellington Harbor Pilots board on it, and the tree was pulled out of the back of this van and it was deposited on the quarterdeck. So I called up my now best friend, the chief pilot for the Wellington Harbor Pilot Board, and I said, Chief Pilot, there is this tree that has magically appeared on my quarterdeck. And I said, from whence might this have come? And he said, well, I'm in a little bit of a jam with my wife because after your departure, we all went out into the back garden in places which stem from having been Her Majesty's government. They don't call it a backyard. It's called a back garden. In my back garden, we all repaired out to that row of trees of evergreens that you saw back there, and we all decided that we needed to cut one down and to deliver it to your ship. And so there is this gap in the line of trees back there, and my wife is, she's not blaming you. She's laying the blame where it belongs, but that's where it came from. So I got hold of XO and the first lieutenant, and I said, XO, and first I want the tree hoisted up to the masthead, and we hoisted it up there and lashed it down, and it went all the way to McMurdo, and it lasted all the time that we were breaking into McMurdo through Christmas and through New Year's. And so that's my annual story about that. And now, Dr. Hallman, we're going to go back to you. And I want to know a little bit about the transport system. And I'm watching our time here. So
sure.
We're moving along in a smart and seamanlike fashion. We just have so much to cover and three old friends having a good talk. So
sure. Yeah, well, you know, Vashon, particularly in the 1890s, early 1900s, when Vashon was settled, you know, there were no roads to speak of. You know, it was easier to get around by water. And that's why there were so many brick factories on Vashon. Bricks were produced here because it was easier to ship them all over Puget Sound by water than by moving them by land. That begins to change after automobiles and the construction of roads come about. But early on, to get across the island, say to get from Liza Bula to Ellisport, it was easier to hop on a steamer, mosquito fleet boat, and go to Tacoma and then catch a boat coming up the east side and get to Ellisport than it was to come across the island. You know, by the 1920s and 1930s, automobiles, roads, that begins to change. And so early on, every little community on Vashon had its own community buildings, its own churches, its own schools. There were 13 school districts. There were 12 community stores. Each community was sort of an independent little group of houses and individuals. That begins to change, and consolidation. The big story of Vashon in the 20th century is really consolidation. We moved from having 32 ferry docks to 2 ferry docks. We've moved from having 12 community stores to having basically 2 shopping areas. We've moved from having 13 school districts to having 1 school district. So it's really been that sort of change in identity. And for many individuals, if you talk to people in the 1920s or 1930s, they wouldn't say they were from Vashon. They would say they're from Ellisport, or they're from Burton, or they're from Liza Bula. Today, and you know this, Captain Joe, from traveling, when people ask you, when you're traveling and people ask you where you're from, you probably say, well, I'm from Seattle, because everybody sort of knows where Seattle is. And then if they push, you say, well, I'm from Vashon Island. And then if they push more, you say, well, I'm from Maury Island, or I'm from Tahlequah, or I'm from Ellisport, or wherever. But it's that sense of an identity as an island that doesn't come until after World War II for much of Vashon.
So I have a question, though. Sure. When did the first car ferry start serving the island?
Actually, 1916. The first 16. Car ferry actually ran from the dock where the fishing pier is. Just south of that, there was a ferry dock. And the first car ferry ran from Portage. It was called Portage, but right between Portage and Ellisport, to Des Moines. And it was run by King County, so it was a government-owned ferry. And that's another big shift that happens on Vashon. Up until after World War II and the formation of the Washington State ferry system, most ferries were privately owned. Today, there are very few privately owned ferries in Puget Sound. A couple county groups own ferries, and a couple entrepreneurs run sort of shuttle ferries. But all the ferries are publicly owned government ferries. Whereas 50 years ago, 70 years ago, they were all private.
So Truman, when you were growing up, you came from Montana, and you grew up on a animal intensive operation.
Yep.
And were there any particular Christmas traditions that either you have kept alive, or that you had in particular, or was it not that much observed in the kind of country that you came from?
Here's an interesting one for you, Joe. I moved to Montana from Texas, from West Texas. And in West Texas, there was a tradition that when someone died, they would have a wreath on their door. That was that was how you knew that someone in that household had died. So when we moved to Montana, the tradition in Mile City, Montana, was that at Christmas time, everyone put a wreath on their door. And my mother, while we were driving around town, my mother said, oh, it's so sad. Look at how many people have died in this little town. And she said, you know, it must be the cold weather that does it. So it took us, I think, a couple of years before we finally figured out that it was the Christmas tradition to put wreaths on the door. So,
and indeed it is. And we only have a few minutes left, so I want to talk about the Christmas star. And, of course, it is the conjunction. The word, the astronomical term is conjunction when astronomical bodies come together. These, of course, are not stars. They are planets as part of our own particular solar system. And they are the planets of Jupiter and Saturn. This is, of course, because we're coming up on the Christmas season. And in the Christian tradition, the Christmas star was the star that guided the three wise men or the three kings, depending on which part of the tradition to which you adhere, brought them to Bethlehem. And it's easy enough to go backwards in time and to see whether or not this particular conjunction could have happened at the time of the historical birth of Jesus. And the problem here, of course, is that we are not really sure exactly when Jesus was born, and therefore it's hard to figure which year to select. There are also, at the same time, there could have been other conjunctions of other planets that would have given the same effect. What I choose to talk about here very briefly is that the conjunction of these two providing this enormous amount of absolutely beautiful light can be a symbol and a metaphor for all of us for the beginning of this, the end of this year, which for most of us has been not a particularly good one, and for many of us has been an absolutely terrible one, but that it is a sign of hope for the year that is coming up, 2021, for all of us, and for the three of us who are friends, colleagues, we work together on a number of different things. We are not the three wise men. We are not the three kings. We are three people who like each other and who work together well for the good of the island community. And so it is for us to say to all of you out there who are Captain Joe's people and Dr. Hallman's people and Captain O'Brien's people that we wish for you a wonderful Christmas season, if in whatever way you celebrate it. And because there are so many empty tables and there are so many families that are not going to be able to foregather, know that each one of the three of us are putting our hands out and touching fingertips and across the miles. So I have just one other thing, which I always say at the end of my broadcast. And because I have two friends here this afternoon, to thank them for being with me this afternoon, to remind Truman that he holds the degree of G, what am I going to say here? GJE.
G-J-E.
Right. Grape jelly expert.
Oh, that I do. That yes, I do. I'll right. accept that.
So if we could figure out a way to ship it out, we would be taking donations for the Voice of Vashon, and we would send you a jar of Truman's grape jelly.
Oh, please.
Right, because we're going to get $5,000 for that grape jelly, and we'll figure out how to send it. So on behalf of all of us, please watch out for the people for whom you are responsible and accountable, and we will foregather here next the week will be my New Year's. We will not do so much of a recap of 2020 as we will look forward into 2021. And as always, Dr. Hallman and Captain O'Brien, the time spent with you enhances and enriches my life. And I hope the same for all of Captain Joe's people who listen to us. So we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, this is your Captain.